This goes out to the AVS fam, to the crew getting ready at the Pepsi can. DJ Triple T banging thunder with the high jams. My dog Bernie Yan smiles in the West stands.
The ColoradoHockey.com podcast is brought to you by FSFAM.com, AVSFAM.com.
Holy hell, hockey fans, how long has it been? It feels like years, but really it's only been a couple months, and a couple months that we all needed off. So long, though, that I'm not entirely sure where I left off. So, I went back and did a little recapping, and it sounded something like this. This is where my head was at the end of last season. It is both the beginning and the end for the Colorado Avalanche. High drama, you say? Maybe. But we definitely know that it is the end of the worst season in 20 years for the Colorado Avalanche. It is also the end of a hodgepodge of old players playing for a lot of dollars in their twilight years here in Colorado. It is absolutely the end of other teams' fans filling the can and cheering louder than the fans we have for the Colorado Avalanche in the Pepsi Center. It is the end of bad team play, it is the end of hero hockey from individual players trying to win it all themselves, and it is the end of unrealistic expectations. There's a lot of ends happening right now, and it's probably for the best, but this also means that it is the beginning. When one thing ends, the next thing begins, and in this case, this is the beginning of a real next era. This is the beginning of a youth movement, where the youth coming up are probably the most talented people on the team. This is the beginning of a smaller, faster team with a ton of speed and a ton of skill. And this is the beginning of the Mikko Rantanen era. Holy shit, that was deep. I was pretty good at this last year. I hope I can hold up. Anyways, the thing about Mikko Rantanen and why I let it run that long is because not many people are talking about Mikko Rantanen. We know he is a sure thing. He is definitely coming back. Sure, a couple years from now, we'll be talking contract, and hopefully it's a bridge contract that gets us where we need to be with him, but right now, that's not where the drama is, and nobody wants to talk about something unless there's some drama involved, so let's get to the drama. Okay, so flashback to the days when Patrick Waugh was in town, and the Avs and Patrick Waugh and Matt Duchene were all like,
"You complete me."
And all the fans were like,
"Just shut up. You had me at hello.
Don't lie, this was you." But now fast forward to 2017-2018 season, and nobody wants Duchene around. Nobody thinks he's any good anymore. What the hell happened there? And from the fans' perspective, it's almost like Duchene didn't even know until suddenly he did, and you put out some stuff on Twitter, but he was like,
"Nobody hit me to that, dude.
It's off limits!"
"Oh. Well, my mistake. Guess I'll be on my way then." Excuse me.
And on his way he is. Matt Duchene is out the door. Or maybe I believe too much in what I hear on other podcasts, but it seems to me like Matt Duchene is done with the Avs. He's over it. He's moved on. He's ready for Nashville. So why isn't he out the door yet? Why hasn't the trade happened? Well, that's because Joe Sakic doesn't do anything quick except for shoot the puck. I don't know if that's a credit or if that's a flaw or if it's both, but either way, Matt Duchene hasn't gone anywhere. And if he still came back, I could get over it. I could deal with it. I have that much whiskey. But for some of you, many of you, maybe Matt Duchene included, it's not enough. It has to come to an end. He has to get his CDs back, and he has to get out of town and never see us again. You all are like,
"Kill him.
Yeah!
I say we hang him, then we kill him.
Yeah! I say we stomp him.
Yeah!
Then we tattoo him.
Yeah!
Then we hang him.
Yeah!
And then we kill him.
Yeah!"
And Matt Duchene is just like, but the Avs are all like,
"No!"
And the media, holy hell, they're all like,
"I say you let me have him first."
But then you got dudes like me, dudes who aren't over it, dudes who think that Duchene still has a chance. We're all like,
"Don't I get a last request?"
And you know what? We're not going anywhere. We're rebuild, so we should be like,
"Why not?"
And then we should move on with it. We should let Duchene have another chance to raise his value or be the guy we all thought he could be. Don't you think? I mean, really, what the hell do we have to lose at this point? Come on. We're not competing this year. We're not competing next year. We have him at a good deal. I don't care if he's upset or not. Tell him to get over it. Let's do this. Let's move on. But the media, you know, they have to tell you something all the time, right? They're going to tell you that, "Well, you know what? He's really toxic in the locker room, and we probably shouldn't have him in there because all the other guys don't like it when he's there." Fuck that, people. We need to get over it. This is a team. This isn't a family. People come in here to do a damn job, and you get your job done. I think he could still do the job. And why not put him with some younger skaters who are awesome? Why not put him with some people he hasn't played with before? Why not let him play this out? And you know what? If it's just not working, trade him later. We should have traded him last season, but we did it. Now we're in a spot where it doesn't even make sense to trade him. Let's just wait a little bit, see what happens, see who needs him, and how much we can get for him. He might just come out strong, and he might just come out kicking ass, and he might just be the guy that we want to trade for something better, or the guy that we want to keep. Who knows? I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. This has gone on way too long, so why can't it go on just a little bit more? We're going to be better than that 48-point season. It seems pretty obvious there, but we're not going to be amazing. We're not going to be awesome. Not yet. What if everybody, including Matt Duchene and everybody else in the locker room who might have a problem with him, and everybody in management just got over themselves and showed up like a goddamn professional and played the game? What if we took all that other bullshit out and everybody did their damn job? Wouldn't that be awesome? Why don't we see if we can pull that off? That would be like a business. That would be like an organization. That would be like a winning championship team. Let's see if we can even get there. Let's see if we can face some adversity and come out better for it on the other side. All that we know is what we're told, because none of us are in that locker room, and all we get from other people is their perspective. For all we know, the Avs are all sitting together and they're all like, and they're going to get it on this year and be better than they were last year, and that's all we can really hope for. But I digress. Hell, I'm not even sure if I made a point there, but it's the rookie showcase for all of us, right? It's funny that I call it the rookie showcase, because it's not. It's the prospects showcase. But that doesn't sound cool. Rookie showcase sounds way cooler. So here's the thing. We got to see a lot of our players in three different games. We got to see some goaltending that was good, some goaltending that was suspect. We saw some players live up to the hype, and some players really just kind of leave us wondering what the hell happened there. So here's the thing about the rookie showcase, or the prospect showcase, whatever the hell you want to call it. These are not, almost every single one of these guys can't buy a drink at a bar. They're not that old yet. These are kids playing against other kids who are not NHLers. Some of them look like they could be NHLers, but that's against kids, again. And some of them are going to be NHLers as kids, and that's just badass. We should right now give them the plus 10 badass badge. Now, while we could talk about every single one of them who played, we won't, because I don't know who half of them are. There were some names there that I'd never seen before. Leave that to the actual pros who do this for a living. But for me, I'm going to give you my top three and my bottom three. All right, top three is easy. Jost, Compher, Greer. I know, Greer, people are like, oh, but dude, he went out there and just like was trying to start fights with people and hitting people and not in control. Bullshit. He's a guy who plays hard-nosed hockey. That's what he's always done. That's what Compher does as well. Now, true, Greer could add a little bit more poise to his game, a little bit more finesse, and a little bit of timing. You got to know when to do something and when not to do it. You know when you can do it. You know when you can throw blows. You know you can lay a hit on people in camp, in rookie showcases, in prospect showcases. I'm totally fine with the way he played. I think that when it's in game time, he's going to play a hell of a lot better, too. I don't know if that means we're going to see him actually playing in the NHL to start the season, but I have a hunch we're going to see him throughout the season, and maybe he's going to end the season with the Colorado Avalanche, just like Jost, just like Compher. So my bottom three is pretty easy too, because again, I don't know all the guys who are on the team. There just happened to be three people that I was keeping my eye on who happened to let me down. Number one, Spencer Martin. I love Spencer Martin. I really do. But you know what? He's got to be good all the time. That's what goalies do. They're consistent. They always give you a chance to win. I love that he gets out and plays the puck. Sometimes he does it with a lot of flair and fashion, but at the end of the day, I need him to stop the puck, and in the first game, he was a little suspect for me. This wouldn't be a big deal, but we've been seeing Spencer Martin for a while. He's been around for a while, and what I'm wondering is he really the future of our goaltending, or is he a piece that cannot be looked at in trade? Not for something big, but something as an add-on. Is he somebody we could toss in? Everybody loves a goaltender prospect in a trade. It doesn't matter who you're trading, what you're doing. If you can throw in a goaltender prospect, almost everyone's going to be like, okay, I like that. I'm just being honest with you folks. I don't see our next starting goaltender coming from within the organization. I think if Varda doesn't work out, somebody else is coming in, and it's going to be from a different team in a trade. All right, the next big disappointment is probably on everyone's list. Storm. What the hell's going on, Storm? Why are we trying to fight everything? I'm pretty sure I saw him get in an argument with a goalpost and try to punch it. This guy does not know when to let it go, and he doesn't know when to start shit either. You don't do it when you're on the power play. He almost negated a power play, and for that right there, he's never going to make the team. He thinks he's going to go out there and be a thug, 10 years ago kind of thug, and get on a team. He's not. He's got to go out there and play hockey. You can be tough later, but right now, we need to know you can play hockey. He'll be lucky if he sees an AHL spot, I think. Sorry, Ben Storm. You're just a decade late, bro. And the last big disappointment for me, actually the fact that we didn't win a game. It's not one player, it's everybody. I know that we're out there in a prospect showcase, and it's not about the wins, but it is about the wins. We want to see guys out there who find a way to win, and we didn't. We found a way to try to play the system, try not to mess up, and at the end of the day, if you're not trying to win, you're just trying not to lose, and that's not good enough for the NHL. So all these guys could use a little bit of work. A handful of them might see some NHL time. I think three of them in particular will. But at the end of the day, doesn't matter. We're moving on. By the time that the vets report and we're into preseason, nobody's going to remember the rookie showcase until next year when they go, oh yeah, remember last year? And we move on to some new guys and hopefully some new players who might make the big team. Honorable mentions to Kerfoot, who didn't look silly out there, which is a win, and Anderson, who really knows how to throw him. I dig the whole duck across uppercut wash rinse repeat routine he did, and it worked well and in his favor. We could talk about a lot of different things next, but we're not going to because nothing is as important as the news that I just heard. Finally, the Colorado Avalanche are going to do the right thing, the thing they should have done years ago, and they're going to retire the number of Milan Hajduk. Say what you will, anybody else who thinks that Bork should have gone up before him, no, he shouldn't have. That was just a star player getting star treatment. But you know who showed up every single game with class and poise and who was clutch under fire? Milan Hajduk. He's the guy that was on the ice every time we needed a miracle to happen. And half of the time, he produced that miracle, which is better than just about any other player out there. Milan Hajduk was the kind of player that I would point to and tell my kids, be like that guy. Don't get so emotionally invested in things that you can't perform at your best. He never did. He was always there. He was always clutch. He was always level. He was always even, and he could always be counted on. I think some people forget that Milan Hajduk was the captain of this team at a shitty time to be captain of this team when things weren't going well, yet he handled it just the way he did with everything else. Classy. When it came time to hand over that seat to Gabriel Landeskog, classy. There was no ego. There was no fuss about it. He was doing the right thing for the team because that's what he's always done. So the fact that it took the Colorado Avalanche this long to get his numbers in the rafters, that's just bad management by the team. Bork, while a lot of people are pissed off about a lot of things with the Colorado Avalanche these days, this is the one true thing that always pissed me off. There's no way that Bork should have had his number retired up there before Hajduk. It's questionable whether it should be in Colorado at all. But Hajduk is a no-brainer. They should have had him up there long ago. If the Avs weren't trying so hard to be a part of Ray Bork's career and put his numbers up so quick, Hajduk might have been up quicker, but you can't put too many numbers up too quick, now can you? And let's be honest, the entire organization needs a facelift from the players all the way up to the management and the way that they deal with the most important part of the team, the fans. To me, this is them doing the right thing for the fans, and maybe it's the start of a true next era. All right, quick, what's your best memory of Milan Hajduk? Tweet it at me. Go ahead, I dare you. But here's mine. Milan Hajduk scores a goal, freaks everybody out by starting to flap his wings like he's losing his damn mind, dives over the blue line, and starts to swim as if he's in an Olympic pool. The Hajduk duck dive. Tell me you don't remember that. This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by AbsFam, absfam.com, the coolest hockey shirts you can't find anywhere else because they're not available anywhere else. They're only available at absfam.com. My favorite right now, the JT Comfort shirt, aka the JT Whiskey shirt, aka smooth like whiskey, aka awesome. Go check it out, absfam.com.